When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, thanks for purchasing my new Blu-ray. I usually put out Blu-ray to get better quality sound to the listener. CDs have kind of mediocre quality. MP3s, a computer company. All the, you know, MP3 sucks. And DVDs are better than CDs, and then Blu-ray is better than DVD. So, you know, we're giving you a Blu-ray this time. What, most times what people want with a Blu-ray, they want to see a picture because they think it's about the picture, but it's not. It's about the sound. So we really don't care about the picture. So we've been working on getting you some archival footage, which we put carefully into the Blu-ray. Give the listener and viewer some idea of what was actually happening when I made this record with the International Harvesters in the mid-80s. Well, in the mid-80s, I played with them. It was Rufus Thibodeau on fiddle. He was great. Ben Keith, the late, great Ben Keith. Back to the country.
Mike Shu and the Condon Boys, Trans and Harvest and Linois. We're gonna sit and listen to each one. It's Long May You Young.
All right, thanks for listening to Long May You Young, one of three Neil Young podcasts that we know of now. There is one in Canada, in Quebec, I guess. What is that called?
I think that's called Don't Be Denied.
Don't Be Denied. That's right. That's a really good title for a Neil Young podcast.
It is.
That's awesome. And then I believe the Thrasher's Wheat people have one also. Thrasher's Wheat has been covering Neil Young since, 1995.
Yeah.
I think. But we are Long May You Young. And what we do is we try to cover Neil Young's musical output in order, album by album. And we do it in a very sloppy and unorganized way. And my name is Mike Shu, along with Luke and Russ Condon from the band Town Meeting. Thank you very much for tuning in. We're on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Long May You Young. We're also on Facebook, and you can also find us on the Neil Young subreddit. And don't forget to check out our website, longmayyouyoungpodcast.com. Not only can you listen to all the episodes there, there's some video up there, and you can also buy merch and message us there and cause all sorts of trouble. But today we are trying to cover two of what are the performance series releases from Neil Young's archives. The first one, I guess, is which is funny, it's Dreamin' Man live in 92, and it's performance series volume 12. Now correct me if I'm wrong, but the only two live archival performance series releases before this were Massey Hall and Fillmore East, right?
Yeah, those came out before this, right?
Yeah, right.
We
yeah.
covered them.
And now we're up to 12. All of a sudden.
Okay, so this
is Canadian math.
No, this is proof that Neil is a time traveling vampire, and he's right. trying to fuck with the space time continuum.
He lost track.
Funny because I'm on Instagram right now looking for things to read, and because I know there was a recent funny one, but Randy Milton sent us a DM and sent us this thing from the archives and said, notice around the 50-second mark, he says it could have showed up in any year. Definitely a time traveling vampire. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. He is.
Right.
Yeah, because, okay, so Dreamin' Man Live 92 is volume 12 in the Archives Performance Series, which is a subgenre of the Archives, and it was mm-hmm. the fifth to be released.
Right.
A Treasure was volume 9.
yes.
in the Archives yeah. performance series, and it was the sixth to be released. But these
I see what Neil did there. That's pretty funny.
Pretty 69. He knew what we were going to do.
He's a huge Gronk fan.
That's right.
That's great.
And not to be confused with the official bootleg series, which are completely mm-hmm. different.
Right.
And also the – I think there's another – there's like two other different series. There's the
the actual Archives.
Yep, several volumes yep. that start with disc zero.
Yep. it's the metrics. It must be the metric
system. It's the metric system.
That's We're the only country in the world that doesn't use the metric system.
Yeah, because we rule.
Yeah, sure. But
yeah, he's a time traveling vampire, and he just I think he just took too many honey slides at this point in his life, and then the time. Space continuum got all fucked up, and he was like, Daryl, fuck.
He and was then back. You mean he went back in time to hang with Rusty Kershaw, and they were eating honey slides and drinking, like, Ripple?
Exactly.
And then he came back with a wicked hangover and said, hey, Elliot, just release these two next. Just but, Neil, it's like 69. 12 and then 9. Aren't we going to release the ones? But no, just put these out. I don't care.
He just dips in where he wants. He's a time-traveling fucking vampire.
so we're, again, two live releases here, and Dreamin' Man Live, and then the International Harvesters, A Treasure. Both of these very excellent albums in their own way, completely different albums, and with cool, I think, cool backstories to each of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, which one do you want to start off with? Are we going to start off with Dreamin' Man?
So real quick, we should mention that we are on Patreon now. We're up to we have a whole bunch of patrons, and I'm trying to thank all the new patrons at the beginning of each episode. We have 6 new patrons as of the recording of the last episode. Sean Christoph, Pete Lacey, Simon Rosenberg, Chris Boudreau, Scott Parks, and Mikkel Borg. Thank you for joining our Patreon. And as always, we'll mention John Locke, who is the most faithful youngster, and gets mentioned on every episode. I also want to say that as of today, boys, we're at 666 followers.
I saw
on Facebook.
That. Yeah. I was going to say that. I was going to make a post too. Nice.
666 followers on what?
On Facebook.
Oh, really?
That's
fucking satanic.
Should
awesome.
We cap it there? Not let anyone else join?
I mean, if you want to keep open that portal of hell, yeah, sure.
This podcast is a portal to hell.
That's pretty right. Much. As long as it stays at 666.
Speaking of portals to hell, I do want to point out we're on Zoom again because my son got COVID.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine. Literally couldn't be happier bouncing
well,
around the house.
How old is he? He's 4, right?
He's 4, yeah.
His immune system is like that of a friggin' shark at this point in his life.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
And you're fine. You
Oh, I
came back negative.
My test came back. I took 2 tests, both negative, and I've been miserably sick all week. So
that's
don't really that's understand
weird.
How any of this works, but we're Zooming as a precaution because I don't want to get you guys sick because I know I already negatively contribute to your lives enough. So I don't want to add more to that. So, so we're on Zoom.
That's great.
And I do want to read a few reviews here because we have some reviews. If you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it. The first one is from longtime Rusty. The review is a 5-star review. It says, I'm a believer. Great job on Lanois' analysis. I'm not sure how I feel about us talking about things being referred to as analysis. It feels disingenuous.
Yeah, but I feel like we smeared feces all over it. Not so much an analysis, more like a vandalism.
Vandalism is way better.
Yeah.
So great job on Lanois' vandalism. Is what it, I'll correct it. Then they said, I'll be honest, I haven't put much effort into post-Greendale NY. But after today's episode, I gave it 2 more listens and my mind has changed. Neil is always unique and risk-taking and definitely unconcerned about commercial success. Lanois accentuates this. Could this be the only NY studio album with no other musicians but Neil credited, unless New Version of Hitchhiker is considered? Another fun couple of hours full of learning and laughter despite some volume challenges, which I fixed, on the song snippets. Looking forward to the Da Wez podcast.
I think that's pronounced Doze.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Okay. I think it's pronounced Doze.
I ate all of this.
I kind of sounded like the singer for a second there of Dawes.
Oh, nice. How dare you? We would never disparage fans you like.
She was going for the kill.
He's going for the kill. Keep it up and you'll get another episode.
Well, if I keep listening to Dawes, they're going to kill me.
Hey!
So the Patreon thing, what can people, just to reiterate, what can people expect if they become a patron?
There's different tiers, but I mean, at the most basic level, you're going to get early access to episodes and you're going to get all the bonus episodes. Right now, we're a bi-weekly podcast unless you're a patron, and then we're a weekly podcast. So we're doing the archives first. We did the Disc Zero. It was the first episode. Disc One comes out next week. You'll also, me and Russ are going to do a Neil cover every week.
The archives are only for Patreon people.
Yes.
Me
and Russ are going to do some Neil covers. I'm kind of leaning towards Flying on the Ground Is Wrong, Russ. I've been playing that and learning it. I feel like we would kill that. And then we're also going to do some fun, silly stuff. I mean, Nails is going to get involved. He just got married. I think we're going to watch Back to the Future 2 with Mike.
Can't wait.
We're going to watch.
Wait for that. That's time well spent and what's left of my short life.
You signed up.
Awesome.
It's great. It's a ton of fun. There's a bunch of, everyone's interacting with
each other. Which tier offers the free oil change? That's what I want to know.
That's the new tier I'm going to invent called Hey Daryl, which by the way, we should change the name of this podcast to Hey Daryl. I think
Hey Daryl.
You know what I was thinking about today? What if Neil has secretly been listening?
Well, then we're fucked.
To this podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, in the beginning, a lot of what we did was, I mean, besides the Luke's constant cum jokes, what we did was we praised Neil a lot. We would talk about
how much we
love Neil and we have a Neil problem, but now it's just Hey Daryl all the time.
There's one thing I can safely say is we are not Neil sycophants. We're not kissing his ass. We definitely call out what we don't particularly like.
No, but I was listening today to the Dreaming Man record, and at one point I was like tearing up, and I was like, "Fuck, I really love Neil so much."
Same, dude. Same.
You know, we're not. Now I guess technically people are paying.
What song were you crying to, Russ?
I wasn't.
I'm gonna judge you. What song were you crying to?
I'll tell you. I cried to Natural Beauty, the acoustic version.
It wasn't Natural. It wasn't Natural Beauty.
Such a Woman, was it?
No.
All right. Because I'll tell you right now.
No, God, no, it was not. It was One of These Days.
Oh.
I've always loved that song so much.
You ever step in poop with bare feet?
Dog shit, yeah.
Dog shit, human shit, whatever it is. You ever step in it with bare feet?
Unfortunately, yeah. I've never stepped in human shit and bare feet yet.
Okay. That's the feeling, that same sensation I get when I listen to Such a Woman, any version.
It's pretty bad.
It's poop squirming through my toes.
I don't feel that hard. It's not my favorite song.
It's poop play-doughing through your toe cracks.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's like I'm making a Play-Doh foot mold, but it's poop.
I hope.
Speaking of poop, here's another 5-star review.
Okay.
That's terrible. this is from Dowsons.
Is that how you pronounce that band's name?
Nope.
Oh. I'll get it right one of these days. I got to do it before we start the podcast.
They say, "I must listen. I've been an avid listener of this podcast and love it. The episodes are long, and you better be prepared for a fair amount of smutty juvenile behavior and the hosts going off tangent. But this is what makes it enjoyable."
That's not true.
It's never happened.
Mike, we don't do that. That's just bullshit.
He must
be talking about Rock's Back Pages with Barney Fife.
You just talked.
They're all about dick jokes.
Human poop play-doing through your toes, I believe, was what he was just from.
That's an accurate description of that song. As a journalist, that's what I do.
You are technically a journalist.
No, I'm a broadcaster.
That's the same thing.
There's a difference.
He said, they said, I don't know who it is. They said, I think it's actually Ian Dowson.
Ian. Sounds like it, yeah.
But anyway, he says, but that's what makes it enjoyable. Hell, they even chat about Neil every so often. The podcast is making its way through Neil's albums one by one with some bonus episodes thrown in. What I love about the podcast is that it makes me go back and see the albums in a whole new light, even the bang average ones. If the hosts don't enlighten me on certain themes or reasons behind songs and albums, at the very least, they help me come to my own conclusions. 5 stars, no question. So thank you, Dowsons. Assuming it's
it sounds
Ian.
Like
thanks,
it
Ian.
Could be Ian. Yeah,
yeah, it's got to be Ian. Thank well, you. Anyway, thanks. If you leave us a 5-star review, we'll talk about we'll
those
read
the,
them.
Those the 5-star reviews.
Those are the 2 5-star reviews.
I know
reviews.
You've got some Facebook stuff. Let me quickly do an Instagram thing because I like to shout out new people. Andrew Savage Music on Instagram said, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically said, I've been listening and I love the podcast. Very happy that you guys enjoyed La Noise as much as I did. And then mentioned that he went to see Neil in 2010. And then, shoot, did you bring up this? That while Bert Jansch, or however the fuck we mm-hmm. say that, was opening, the crowd yeah. was saying, we want Neil.
Oh, really?
They yeah. were chanting that while yeah. he was playing?
Yeah. That's so lame.
What a bunch of dicks.
And seriously. Neil, and he said Neil didn't look happy about it. But he still,
of course not.
But he Neil still played
like,
it.
That's Neil's hero.
Because he didn't, I guess he didn't talk at all between songs, which is kind of how you know when Neil is upset at you. But he still said that he nailed it that night. I should probably tell Andrew Savage not to use that word, but.
Nailed it, yeah.
And then at the end, Andrew said, sorry for being long-winded. You guys rock. Pour one out for the titty bird.
Don't apologize to us about being long-winded.
I know, really.
Yeah, exactly. And then I said something about being a youngster now and, like, how does that feel? And he said, proud to have finally earned my hashtag youngster title. And then
what are we
have
doing
to earn
to
that?
What are we
what
doing
do you
to people?
You have to earn that. You have to tell at least one joke that involves semen.
And someone else, Luke, Die Interstate, DY Interstate Kings, said it was a great how after one song, Luke was like, sorry, guys, I had to crank that one. It's just too good to not play it full top volume. Even meanwhile, it was dead silent. Still a great episode. Can't wait for Americana.
Whatever.
And yeah, I was right. So last time, I think it was on that episode was a fucking mess then. Because at the end of that episode, I was like, hey, are we doing the National Harvesters record? And you guys are both like, no, we're doing Americana. And I was like, oh, and now we're not doing Americana. We're doing whatever. The one that I said.
Whatever. Fuck you
So
guys.
People are like, oh, can't wait for Americana. Now they got to wait like 2 months.
Whatever.
Well, if you become a Patreon member, then you can get it earlier.
Just go listen to it now. It's fucking a bunch of like Oh Susanna songs, all right? We'll fucking talk about it in a month or whenever we get to it. We've got more important stuff to talk about. Like we have to watch Back to the Future 2 with Mike Shue for our right. Neil Young podcast. Because
that's Neil's favorite, apparently Neil's favorite movie.
So, Luke, do you want to do some Facebook shit? Because I know you posted about it.
Yeah, we'll hit some of that now. So I posted both the albums. We're trying to cover a I keep calling it a promise, but it's a treasure. And Dreamin' Man 92. And Joel, who hosts the other podcast that Mike mentioned earlier, says something that I quite agree with. He says, a treasure is really better than old ways. I agree 100%.
Oh, yeah.
And then
this
he says,
should have been old ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He says, the song Grey Riders is a highlight for me. And then he says, Dreamin' Man is a wonderful alternative to Harvest Moon. Some of the songs are way better in solo, like Such a Woman.
Oh, my God, dude.
I also like the Dreamin' really? Man version better with the opening lyrics, I can tell when my dreams won't come true. And I didn't catch that, which is pretty interesting. Sam Bradley, really love A Treasure and find myself going back to it a bunch. I think it captures the old way sound they were going for, though I'm already partial to that album. Great extended version of Southern Pacific on here. Mm. Don't know if I agree with that. Not too familiar with Dreaming Man. What I listened to never really jumped out at me. And then I'll do just one more. This is Lars Olason. He says, I really like these. A Treasure is much better compared to Old Ways. Not sure if I dare to say the same about Dreamin' Man compared to Harvest Moon, since that album is such a classic, but Such a Woman is way better than, like, I
Jesus
already
Christ.
Mentioned.
Am I missing something? Am I just being insensitive to the needs of sensitive people?
I mean,
it's like he should have just given that song to Seals and Crofts. Or Sid and Marty Croft. It would have been better, actually, if Sid and Marty Croft did it. Yeah.
Or what's the fuck? What's that band we talked about in the beginning? DeGarmo and Key.
DeGarmo and Key.
Yeah,
right.
That's a DeGarmo and Key.
Geniuses.
Oh, I just love that so many people mention that song.
I know, right? They love that tune. And what's amazing is on the Dreamin' Man album, people love it. And what's amazing about that is they've never heard it before, because that was all before Harvest Moon came out.
Was it really?
Oh yeah, this was like months before Harvest Moon was released. This was that tour he did after he tore into the 90s with El Dorado and Freedom, and then he did Ragged Glory and Weld, and then he had a hearing issue.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a form of tinnitus or whatever, that there was like super high sounds.
I think it was a special form of tinnitus called tinnitus thenitis.
Is that what it was? Tinnitus thenitis?
Very good.
The only cure is cocaine and tequila.
Come on, that was pretty good.
But Roz, this is like he wanted to kind of, after being so loud in the late 80s and early 90s, he wanted to, well, this is still early 90s, but he wanted to turn it down. I remember we talked about this. He mentioned something to the effect of he wanted to connect with the audience more after these big giant like rock shows that he did with security barriers and stuff, and giant props and, you know, Crazy Horse and everything. He wanted to just be him and a guitar. And he said that is the best way to connect, to be intimate with the audience, is to just be up there with your voice and your guitar.
Yeah.
And to connect with them emotionally on that level. And if you can do that, you know, it's very satisfying. So he wanted to kind of get back to that with this short acoustic tour he did.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you like this more than Harvest Moon, or do you like Harvest Moon more, or is it kind of a smorgasbord?
I think I like Harvest Moon more, but I don't know. It might be a smorgasbord.
I kind of like this a little bit more.
I miss Ben Keith. I miss Ben Keith a lot on this though.
Yeah. I just think that some of the stuff on Harvest Moon sounded a little hokey. Some of the background vocals and stuff, and I think that the stripped down versions here, some of them.
If this had just him and Ben, then I would like this better. But I on a lot of these songs, I miss what Ben was doing.
I didn't like You and Me on Harvest Moon, but I do like it here.
Yeah,
I feel that way about a few songs, and I'm glad they both exist. But I'm going to go to this before I go to Harvest Moon from now on. I love this. And I was not expecting to. For some reason in my brain, Dreamin' Man was off of Prairie Wind, which I don't know why it was. But so I was like, I don't want to listen to this, because I was having a ton of fun listening to A Treasure. And then when I put it on, I'm like, wait, what the fuck? And then I'm like, oh, okay, this is all shit from Harvest Moon. And I love it way better. And this is one of those albums, too, where the end is better than the beginning. And I'm not saying that the beginning sucks. I'm just saying it gets better and better and better. And then even, like, songs that I didn't really give a shit about on Harvest Moon, like Old King, is so fucking good on this, on Dreamin' Man.
Yeah.
Neil on the banjo and shit. I don't know. I just love fucking stripped Neil. I love stripper Neil.
Oh, no. Please don't make that a thing.
Yeah, we need to know.
Hey, Daryl. I'm going to go out, make a quick $3,000 tonight.
Mike says don't make that a thing. And then immediately makes it a thing.
Yeah.
I'm going down to the Swollen Mango.
Hey, Daryl, I'm thinking about getting shift. I'm thinking about getting a tattoo on my lower back that says, hey, Daryl.
Enough. Okay, though, but if Neil was a stripper.
Yes. What would be his song?
Yeah. Do you think it would be like something from Trans? Do you think he'd dance to his own music?
Oh, absolutely.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. It would be a Bert Jonk song.
No. Sure. It would be Pressure from Landing on Water.
How much money?
You know what? It would be Such a Woman, but the version from Harvest Moon, not this version. Because you need that full Nietzsche production, you know. Oh, my God. Imagine, like, him getting up there and, like, garters and shit, and then they play A Man Needs a Maid.
Oh, my God. Now, hold on. Are we talking Neil now, or are we talking 70s Neil?
I was talking about Neil now.
Because Neil now
might not be in any shape to work the pole now.
I don't think he can work the pole now, but fucking 70s Neil or like late 70s, like Reactor Neil.
Reactor Neil.
He'd tear the shit out of that pole. And he would dance to songs from Reactor. Right. That'd be hot as shit. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
That's when he was lifting weights.
What is happening?
What? We're talking about Neil Young.
Talking about strip.
That's
Neil.
What we're supposed to do. This is our, oh no, is this working? Is this the Working Man podcast?
It's Working Man.
I get the wrong notes.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ.
Well, anyway, all this talk about stripper Neil's turned me into a dreaming man. Am I right, guys? All right, fuck you. actually, real quick, before we dive too deep into this, can we hit some Neil Young news? Because there is big news this week.
It's time for Neil Young news.
What the fuck's wrong with your voice?
So in Neil Young news today, Neil Young and Crazy Horse announce a new album, and it's called Barn.
Oh, that was what whoever's on Instagram DM'd us and said Randy Milton. That was where he said on the archives when he announced that the Barn thing.
Yeah.
At the 52nd mark, he said it could have showed up in any year. So
yeah,
that's what he was talking about.
Well, Neil and Crazy Horse have announced their new album Barn will be out in December. Barn is very special, Young wrote to the fans on the Neil Young archives. It rocks, it rolls. I wish it was out now. It's got songs that are part of these times. He's yet to release any songs from Barn to the general public, but subscribers to the Neil Young Archives were given a chance to stream the tune Song of the Seasons today. According to information on the site, it was recorded high in the Rockies on June 21st, 2021, via the Le Mobile recording studio. And then there's more stuff about it, but during the lockdown, Young combed through his archives and prepared a large slate of archival releases. He's already at work on at least one new song. It might take weeks to shape the melody, he wrote in September, but unlike the past, I'm in no rush now. But yeah, new album, new single out already. It's great. Have you guys listened to it? Song of the Seasons?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I've only listened to it once.
I think it's good. It's definitely like Harvest era Neil, I feel like.
Right. And Nils has a great accordion solo on it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Russ, it's right enough. It's right on the archives, Bubs. You got to check it out. It's real
good.
Gotta
love some Nils Accordo, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that album will be out in December, and we'll cover it probably in 2025, I think.
Right,
so
at this point.
So.
More Barn!
Unless you sign up for Patreon, then maybe we'll cover it earlier than that.
That's true. We won't, but we'll think about it. There's
we'll
just
cover it
much.
Before the next Olympics.
So yeah. Are we going to go, we're not going to go through like every fucking song on these guys, are we?
I don't think we have to, but we can hit like on a treasure. We should hit a few of them because there's a bunch of originals
some
on there.
Yeah, there's some original stuff. But like, well, let's just go through the ones we like on.
Did you pick a top three?
I got a top three for both. Yeah.
What's your top three for Dreamin' Man?
You want to do, I like, we're really shifting it up here. Hold on. This is a rare early top three. For Dreamin' Man, my three was Old King, only because of the banjo and the sniffs he does in the song.
Yeah, those are goddamn great.
Fucking awesome. He does a sniff solo like I've never heard. Hey, Daryl.
Oh, God. On the pole. He's sniffing the pole.
Okay.
After he's done
actually,
with
can
it.
We just make Stripper Neil a thing for just
needs,
this episode?
No, it needs
to
go away. Because
I'm
you
just
know,
doing this to work my way through pharmaceutical college.
And by pharmaceutical, I emphasis on the farm.
I got a new album called Barn coming out.
Barnaceutical. No, because now Joel's going to make a Stripper Neil meme, and I'm not going to be able to handle it.
You boys like trains? We can pull one in the VIP room.
Neil's going to do Neil's on the pole, and he's going, choo-choo, choo-choo.
Come on, Russ. Neil does not work at the Bada Bing. Come on. That's
the
enough
Bada
of that.
Bing. He wouldn't work at the Bada Bing.
No.
But anyway, my three is Old King. My two is Dreamin' Man. I think it's a really great version of that song. And my one is Natural Beauty, because I just thought that.
Really?
I don't think I appreciated it on Harvest Moon, and it just like stunned me this time around. I don't know. I just think it should have been acoustic. It's that much better, I think, than Harvest Moon. But honorable mention, I think War of Man was great too.
Yeah, that's really good.
But those are my top three. What do you guys got?
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, go. You can go ahead.
My number three is Unknown Legend. I don't know. I really like that. Just solo Neil. Same thing with From Hank to Hendrix, which is my number two.
Mm-hmm.
And One of These Days is my number one.
Really?
Okay. With honorable mention to Such a Woman.
Mine's very similar, except I couldn't choose between From Hank to Hendrix and Unknown Legend, but I'm going to go with From Hank to Hendrix. And then Dreamin' Man, I really liked. And then One of These Days is my number one. And I also really did like the old King Sniffs. But
it was great.
But yeah, what I really love about this album is the fact that, again, and he's done this his whole career, so it's no big surprise, but I love that, first of all, this is all the stuff from Harvest Moon that he's playing for people who haven't, the album's not even out yet. These people haven't even heard these songs yet.
Yeah.
Right.
And he gets this crowd reaction, which is actually pretty, pretty cool. Right. And, but I just love how he does that. He goes out and he plays all these tunes that people haven't heard and just doesn't care.
Yeah.
And I'm sure on this tour, he probably played a bunch of hits, I'm guessing, or some other more familiar stuff, but he didn't stick it on here. This is all just Harvest Moon stuff, man.
It's funny that you said Unknown Legend, Mike, because it's not my cut song. My cut song is obviously Such a Woman, but, that's the one song where I preferred the Harvest Moon version. I just love that version more than this one. I don't know why. Who produced, was it Ben Keith produced Harvest Moon or no?
Yeah.
It was him and Ben.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. I think I mostly prefer Harvest Moon to this just cause I really like, the Ben stuff is really missing, but
wait, you like Ben Keith, Russ?
Quite a bit.
Okay.
Quite a bit.
I wasn't sure about that. It's interesting.
What about Stripper Ben Keith?
No, we're not doing Stripper Long Grain.
So let's play a little bit of Dreamin'
and
Man.
Now, coming to the stage, it's Long Grain.
You know,
let's give him a big hand, guys.
You know Stripper BK.
Give him a big hand.
They are. They're giving
him Long Grain.
Just a feeling behind this form. There's nothing literal in here.
Okay, Neil.
That's my problem. I can't tell when my dreams won't come true. In the meadow dust, I park my.
Okay, I don't know how to lower the volume.
So, Russ, top right where you see where it's playing it, the knob there, that's your volume. So you can just kind of slowly bring it down. Do you know what I'm saying?
No. Oh, up there. Yep. You guys were in the way. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
But I
love this version.
I didn't play the Aerostar van line, everybody's favorite line. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
This is why Luke usually does this, folks.
Yeah, of course my computer is not sharing sound, so Russ is taking over and actually been pretty much nailing it so far. But I wanted
except for that hard pause.
That's fine. But so Joel on Facebook commented, the line "I can tell when I'm not being real" doesn't even rhyme with the rest of the verse, and he says, "I kind of think he changed it to make sure people knew the song wasn't about him. It's like he said before starting it, just a feeling behind, that's all. There's nothing literal in it." I think Neil, at the time of recording this back in 92, had already heard all of the episodes of this podcast and knew all the jokes we were making about the Aerostar van and was like,
haha, jokes on them. By the time they get to Dreamin' Man, I'm gonna defend myself here.
All right. So, is it worth listening to such a woman, or do we not even want to put ourselves?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, if you want to play a little bit and just show the world
the whole thing,
really, what a slimy piece of crap. This, I mean, seriously, this is like...
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
No, it is. This is like... Worse than... You know, FM soft rock. Just... It's annoying.
It's not very good.
This or Landing on Water?
Jesus, you know what? I mean, yeah, I'd rather listen to Landing on Water than this song.
Drink.
At least Landing on Water has, like, pressure on it, which is a pretty good tune.
People are not, they don't know what to make of this.
You are such a woman to me.
Mike just left for everyone just listening. We can see him on the screen. He just left.
If I was at this show, this is where I would have gone up to get another beer.
This is another beer zone. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that right there, when he does the I love you, then I would have got off to take a shite.
I will say, what happened? This makes me, this is still my cut song. I like this, and it's not even that much different than Harvest Moon, but I like this a little bit better. I don't know why. Maybe it's the placement in the album. I like the placement of these songs more than I do in Harvest Moon.
That's interesting. So yeah, you prefer this order.
Kind of, although Unknown Legend is the one Unknown Legend, just a great song, no matter what. And I think it gets lost a little bit towards the end in this, whereas when it's right up front, you kind of can see the beauty of that song, I think. I don't know.
Maybe this was his original order.
Could have been.
And this was his way of putting it out.
This feels more natural. This feels like a natural order.
Like a natural beauty?
Yeah. But it also, this isn't even the order... Actually, you know what's interesting? This is the order he recorded these. So he's got – these are from different – this isn't all from the same show. These are from different shows spanning from January 92 all the way to November 92. But I'm looking at it right now, and they're in order. The first song is from January, Such a Woman's from May, and then a big chunk of the rest are from September, and then the last two were in November. So you almost can see him, like his progress – because by November, he's played these songs so much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think maybe that might be why I kind of really appreciate the end a little more than the beginning. Not that the beginning was sloppy, but you kind of, by the end, he's fucking figured it out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
I'm going to play a little bit of One of These Days because I know Shu and I, this is our top song. I like this one a lot. Is it playing? What's going on here?
Your volume. Check your volume.
Whoops. I'm doing a great job, guys.
One of these days, I'm going to sit down and write a long letter to all the good friends I've known. Try to thank them all for the good times together. Though so apart, we've grown. One of these days, I'm gonna sit down and write a long letter.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I love that. And again, this is like an album. You know, that high res on the archives, you just hear every string.
It's beautiful.
You hear him handling the guitar. It's an amazing, the sound is pretty amazing on this particular release.
If you don't have the archives yet, you're a Neil fan, you're nuts. There's so much, you know, did you see that Human Highway's on the archives now?
Yeah.
There's so much stuff on
Year of the Horse, too, which I love.
Awesome.
Right. And also, I believe, is Journey Through the Past still up there?
Yeah.
I think that's up there, too.
I think it
is. Which is great as, You know, it's just a weird experimental movie that's edited in a weird way, but it's a real slice of what that particular time period was. It's really awesome to watch that, Neil, watch how awesome. The business works and all that stuff.
I love listening to Harvest Moon when he's doing the fucking harmonics on his own.
That's great.
While he's singing. That's good. What other ones do you got? You want to listen to the Old King sniffs?
Old King is go to the old King.
Shoot.
Sniffs.
Do you want to hear any of these?
No. Let's go to Old King.
Okay.
He'd definitely play the intro, Russ, for sure. But then if you want to skip to the old sniffs.
Yeah, we'll hear the intro and we'll skip to the sniffos.
And Russ, see up the green? That's where you would slide to.
Scared of jumping off the truck and
yeah, that intro is really nice.
Is this the first time we've heard Neil play the banjo?
No.
Can't be, right?
In one of my favorite songs off of On the Beach is him and Ben Keith, and he's playing banjo.
He's on banjo? It's not Ben on Turnstiles?
Nope, that's Neil, because Ben is playing the slot, like the dobro slide type.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, James Taylor was probably listening to that when On the Beach came out. Went, that fucker knows how to play banjo,
right?
Why did he make me play the banjo? I don't even know how to play the banjo.
Why did he nils me? Oh no!
Fuck that guy for making me play the banjo from Stockbridge to Boston.
He's great. He's great though at banjo. He kills it. I don't know.
I almost wish that, like, this song's fine. It's pretty good. I feel like even when he talks about kicking his dog, the audience is kind of like, whoa. Yeah.
But there's also a great version on, what was the Heart of Gold? When they him and Emmylou Harris do it. And it's really awesome.
Yeah,
it's very good.
Cut all the other shit out.
I fucking love that.
I like Neil on the banjo because he beats the shit out of it like he does with the guitar.
He does with Old King.
And it's just like, it's like you can totally tell it's him playing it. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
It's really good. And yeah, like you said, Shu, the high res on the archives, you can really hear every fucking bounce of every string. And
You get those
sniffs, those high res sniffs. Yeah,
it's awesome.
How close are you guys to joining the most expensive tier where you get to occasionally Zoom with Neil?
I am not.
I am kind of
anywhere near that.
Do you want me to use a little bit of the money coming in from Patreon to get us a subscription to that?
We have that much money coming in from Patreon.
A lot of people pay for this, Mike. It's coming in, man.
Wow.
I can't afford rent right now.
Barnum was so right, wasn't he?
I can't afford rent, so I can't do that right now, but sure.
I was talking to we are part of the Pantheon podcast network, and I was looking at their their information feed that they send us, and apparently one of the guys, Peter, the guy that we deal with, was talking to Neil on Zoom.
So cool.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So
he probably no longer refers Neil to this podcast. If he
doesn't, because he's like a super super uber uber. Fanatical.
Neil.
I mean, I love Neil. I don't know if I'm a fanatic at this point in my life anymore, but he's like seen like hundreds and hundreds of shows. He's been to like 4 bridge school benefit shows. He's
That's
like
awesome.
All this stuff, and he was so excited when we signed on with Pantheon, and then. After a couple episodes, we ceased to hear from him.
It's because of all the cum jokes that you guys make. It's all the cum jokes.
I thought you were going to be serious about it. I'm like, well, you know.
There's been a few.
If you're going to do something, you're going to do it all the way.
No, it's not.
You know,
it's not just all the cum jokes. It's also we'd be like, oh, can you guys help us get this guy on? And then we get this guy on, and Mike's like, hey, just so you know, your album's the worst album I've ever heard.
That was one guy. That was one guy, and I was right. That was one guy.
What do you think would happen if they let old Cooch produce Such a Woman, Mike?
Oh my God. Well, it would sound like friggin' Dirty Laundry by Don Henley.
I don't know that song. Is he also in Genesis?
Yeah, that's right. He's the keyboard player for Genesis.
All right. What else do we want to hear on Dreamin' Man?
Well, Natural Beauty is my number one. I loved it. Obviously, I think you should play the whole thing, I think.
Oh my God.
No, you want to hear a little bit of it?
Yeah, I think so. My emotions have taken me
on. I heard a newborn baby cry through the night. I heard a perfect echo die. This wall of digital sound. Somewhere deep.
Sorry.
There goes old King.
Wait, was that part of the song that I just missed that?
Yeah, that's right. Oh God, sorry.
You want to hear some of the chorus, Luke?
No, that's all right. You can fade it. I think this is a beautiful song, and I don't even notice how long.
I did.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I noticed how long it was on Harvest Moon, too. And I was just like, wow, this could be 5 minutes shorter.
I noticed the length on Harvest Moon, but not on this version. I think this is how it should have been released. And it just got me. It hooked me. Even with the dog barks right there in the beginning, it like really grabbed me. By the way, Neil definitely, if he heard this episode, he'd be like, I should have put in dog barks. He would have loved that.
I like it too. Yeah, it's good. It is pretty long, but the guitar sounds great. It's a nice big live, beautiful live sound.
It's just amazing to me. So you take this song that's almost 12 minutes, and then you take another song that's almost 12 minutes, like Ordinary People, which might be, in my opinion, the mm-hmm. poop between the toes song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same guy, and I'm happy he wrote both. I don't know how else to put it. I hate Ordinary People, but this song hits me in such a good spot. I love this song. I listened to the whole album, and then I went back and listened to this song again, and it's just really? It's so good. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, that's kind of I don't know. I think my opinion of this is I really like this. I think he nabbed all really good versions of these songs. I think he kind of nailed it. I don't know. I like this more than Harvest Moon. I'll be honest. I like this way more than Harvest Moon.
You know, I go back to this more than I do Harvest Moon, but I was never a huge Harvest Moon fan. I mean, it's a good album, but it's not something I visit very often. And same. I think I've gone back to this release more.
I'll visit Harvest Moon often, but it's specific songs. It'll be like War of Man and Unknown Legend. But this one I'll listen to as a whole. I'll even go back to Dreamin' Man on this one. I love Dreamin' Man on this. I think it's great.
Yeah, Dreamin' Man's good on that one. I like the Dreamin' Man on this more than I do on Harvest Moon.
Yeah. But anyway, that was Dreamin' Man 92.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go back to Volume 9 from 12.
Oh, you mean forward. Oh, back to Volume 9, but forward in time.
And release date.
Forward and release date, yeah.
2 years later.
But it's volume.
But it's like how many years before was actually recorded?
But it was the 6th to be released from the. It was 2 minus 1 of the 3rd. This is
like that movie Pi. Did you ever watch Pi?
Yeah.
Luke's head's gonna explode.
That's a Darren Aronofsky, isn't it?
Yeah. Luke's nose is gonna start bleeding.
It's Daryl Aronofsky.
Hey, Daryl Aronofsky. You should make a movie about the order of my archival releases.
Hey, Daryl Aronofsky, I have a Requiem for a Dreamin' Man.
Hey, Daryl Aronofsky, can I borrow that double-sided dildo for my strip routine?
I just got a tweet from Neil Young, actually.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, no, because it gives me an alert when Neil tweets.
What does it say?
And it just says, barn! But it's got a little. It's here. Let me bring this up. Let me see if I can connect to my Bluetooth because it's got a little sound to it.
Okay.
But that's basically the tweet. Barn.
In all caps.
Yep, in all caps. He tweets like an old guy. All right, let me see.
You think that's actually him tweeting?
Yeah, I do.
Well, you know, he answers all the mail on the archives, and he writes a lot of the stuff himself. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if that's him tweeting with the Neil Young Archives account, but this is like just the Neil Young account. Oh, this isn't pairing up. Anyway, sorry about that. I thought I could bring up the sound.
Oh, that's fine. It's probably because I'm sharing. So,
all right, let's move on to a treasure.
Yeah.
I did like that when I posted the news about him releasing an album called Barn, a few people, I think Pete Lacey was one of them. He said the sequel's going to be called More Barn.
That's right, Barn. More Barn.
More Barn.
I hope Barn isn't just a tribute to Fish's album Farmhouse.
I'm not familiar.
And like he just covers all those songs. I mean, that would be okay, I guess. But
you like Fish, Mike?
I love Fish.
Really?
I love Fish. I hate Fish heads. Same thing with the Grateful Dead. Love the Grateful Dead. Hate Deadheads.
Do you like Rusties?
Oh, yeah. Love the Rusties, especially the ones who pay for our Patreon.
Do you think Barn is a tribute to Barney Fife from Rock's Back Pages?
I think it might be. Yeah. Neil's probably like hoping Barney Fife calls him while he avoids us. You know?
Do you
Barrel.
Don't say hey Barrel. Good Lord.
Barn.
Do you think Darren Aronofsky's mad that we nailed his
Barrel?
First...
You mean Barrel Aronofsky? No.
Do you think he's mad? Because he's clearly a listener of this podcast, that we did references to his first two movies, but don't know much of the rest of them. Like, none of us have probably ever seen The Fountain because it was garbage.
No, I didn't
I liked Mother. Mother.
What about
was
Black
good.
Swan?
Oh,
Black Swan's
Swan.
Great. Yeah. And Mother.
And The Wrestler was good.
Yeah,
was
The Wrestler.
The Wrestler is amazing. Yeah.
That's his best movie.
Did you guys see Mother?
It might be his best movie. Mother was good, but it was. I got annoyed
by it. I didn't see Mother.
I liked it. I liked Mother a lot.
It was fine. But I would say, I think I might agree with you, Mike. The Wrestler was a really good movie.
To me, that's my favorite.
The Wrestler's amazing.
I mean, yeah. Black Swan's great. Pie, you know, when I first saw Pie, I just never saw a movie like that in my life.
I was too young when I saw Pie.
And I was too high when I first saw it. I had to watch it sober later on and go, oh my God, this movie is great.
Yeah.
But
I think I go I would go Wrestler, then Requiem, then probably Black Swan, then the rest. Maybe Pie, then the rest. I don't know. I think The Wrestler is great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Talk about that on our Springsteen podcast.
Mickey Rourke is awesome.
He's awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
And Marissa Tomei.
I know, right? She's supposed to be like... She's supposed to be, speaking of strippers, so she's supposed to be this like old, like worn out, unattractive stripper.
No, she's so hot in that.
You should have got a different act.
I know,
sorry.
Seriously.
Casting screwed up on that one.
For sure.
Well, they originally cast Betty White, but she turned it down at the last second.
Oh, God. They originally cast Neil Young.
Come on. What the fuck?
All right, let's cut. Let's dive into a treasure because this album rules.
This album really does rule.
It's awesome.
And this, I'm sure Russ listened to this driving down the road with his hard on, steering the wheel wherever he went.
You're insane if you think that I'm not going to fucking be geeking out the whole time.
I know. So let's get into it because we got to allow. Yeah, start off with just start off with Amber Jean because I like the announcer for Nashville Now announcing Neil Young.
And here's Neil Young.
Kind of sounds like old Silver Gold.
Every morning got sun to shine. Every day got plenty of time.
Stuff.
Really I think this is the album Neil has wanted to write since he was a kid.
What do you mean? Since he was a kid,
he I you know Neil loves country music.
He's right. Yeah, he grew up listening to country music.
And
yeah.
I think this one, like, he's finally, it's in the mid 80s. He's very famous. He's made friends with a bunch of very talented people. And I think he's having nothing but fun on this tour and making this album. And I think it hurt him more than it's probably led on that Geffen rejected all the old ways stuff and all this stuff. I think it really, really bumped him out because this album is so much fun. It rules. And he's even said in interviews, like when he released this, I hope that this now people can see this. I there's a great Rolling Stone article about this release. And at the end of it, Neil says, at that point in my life, the people in control of who played the music on the radio, how it got out, were sure that I shouldn't be doing what I was doing, Young said with a curt, lingering irritation. But it didn't matter to me. I kept on doing it anyway. When you hear this record, that's the reason. Maybe now, 25 years later, it might float. But the thing is, it doesn't matter if it floats, because it floats for me and the musicians, for everybody that was a part of it. Fucking love
that's me. Just fucking Neil, man. That just yeah. sums him up. He also said in another interview, whether people understand it or not was secondary about what he was doing with this band. Yeah. And it's a shame. I think this is way better than Old Ways.
It is.
It's night and day. It's not even close.
Old Ways is just overproduced and just hard to listen to. And I guess this is the sound that's more similar to that first Old Ways album they recorded in 82 when they were in the barn up at up on the ranch, and they recorded all this stuff, like Depression Blues is one of those tracks.
Blues?
Yes, yeah.
From Lucky 13. Yeah. And that's like way better than anything else that's on Old Ways. And that was the sound that they had for that first Old Ways album. That's the album that Geffen rejected. And so when he went back, he really laid it on heavy. He basically said, he told David Geffen, if you don't put out Old Ways, I'm just going to become a country artist and play country music for the rest of my life.
Fucking Neil.
Geffen said, fine. Just clean it up and put it out. And then that's when he started messing with it and it got real slick and everything like that. But this should have been Old Ways. And he even sings different.
Yeah, he does.
You know, probably because it's live. You know, he sings like he sings more like himself than as opposed to trying to imitate like George Jones or Willie Nelson or whoever on Old Ways.
Yeah.
But it's such a great album, a great sounding live album.
I wonder who
and this is during that time.
Sorry, I was just gonna
that say, was that was Ben Keith, right?
Well, yeah, I was gonna throw it to Russ. I was gonna let him say it.
Nice. Man, these players, I know obviously Ben Keith is the fucking best in the world, but obviously everybody else in this band, and I know they're all on Old Ways, right? Like, but hearing them
except
play,
for Ben Keith, right? I mean, he replaced Ben Keith with
Ben's on Old Ways.
Is he on Old Ways?
Yeah, he's
because he brought in a couple of different pedal steel players.
Yeah, he's not the only one, but he is on there, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I believe. I could be wrong. I'm not remembering correctly. But I know I thought he was on there. But yeah, hearing Ben play all of the songs on this is great. But the band, I mean, is just so good. This band. You know, these players are just fucking phenomenal.
Where do you rank them in the...
Well, he had Carl Himmel and Tim Drummond as his rhythm section.
Yeah.
For most of it. I think some of it, there's a different bass player. For a couple of tunes, but those are guys he worked with on Harvest, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then Rufus Thibodeau. I mean, that guy's amazing on the fiddle.
Yeah,
and old Hargis Pig Robbins.
And then the guy who's
hey Daryl. They're recording on Zoom, and it just cut them off. And they asked me to do a little interlude while they got back up and running. You know, hey, Daryl, I just want you to know, I called Zoom and made them cut them off because they were doing Stripper Neil. And I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate that one bit. I'm not a fucking stripper, Daryl. Anyway, hey, Daryl, let's get back to it because I actually want to hear more about the International Harvesters and old Long Grain. All right. Cut this shit off.
There we go.
Is he back?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry, Mike. I don't know what the hell happened, man. I it's very windy here, so I wonder if my Wi-Fi got bumped or the cable got bumped or something. Anyway, let's just pick right up where
let's get into this album because it's just too good not to talk about.
There. Yeah, that will keep in. That was well deserved to my Wi-Fi, but now I'm nervous. Thank God it saved it. I was so scared it deleted
that's the most
everything
important
we recorded,
thing.
But
yeah.
It did.
Yeah, I've only got a little bit of time because Alana, okay. My girlfriend, got us last-minute tickets to see Promise of the Real tonight in Providence.
Oh, my God, really?
They're pretty cheap.
Awesome.
I guess they're pretty cheap.
Rules.
Okay. Can I give a little background before we get into A Treasure?
Yeah, we had already hit Amber Jean before the thing cut off. But, yeah, definitely hit some stuff.
Okay, well, just keep in mind, at this time, the Geffen lawsuit was going on. He was also being sued by the IRS because of some kind of weird payment system he had for one of his projects. So there was a lot going on at this point, and Geffen kept telling him, stop playing country music. And then a bunch of country radio stations were saying, you know, we're not going to play you on the radio, basically because he was the guy who did Southern Man and Alabama. And so they felt country audiences didn't like Neil Young because of that. Which is amazing, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. I think I...
So
I,
fucking ridiculous.
I read that in
this
that
is the
same...
the 80s we're talking about.
And in that same Rolling Stone article, Mike, Neil says, I was told no matter what I did, country radio would not play me.
Yeah, right.
Mostly because of my songwriting. And then he says, but while we were not accepted by country radio, we were accepted by country musicians. They all played Southern Man with me. They didn't care. It wasn't about that. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then keep in mind that he had already recorded that first Old Ways album.
Yeah.
And then he hadn't recorded the new one just yet. Or for some of this, I think he had.
Right. While we're talking about that, there's a new comment on the Facebook from our friend Raj, who said, I think A Treasure is the best of his full-on country stuff. It's got much more energy to it than the studio recordings on Old Ways. Ben Keith was right to name it that. When Neil played it to him all those years later, he said that the recordings were a treasure.
Mm-hmm.
The Austin City Limits film of that era is worth a look too.
Yeah, that's good. Raj. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're on the archives, take a look at, there's two videos about this. Well, one is the one we started the episode off with, the really crazy messed up video about where they got the stuff and how they put it together. But then there's another I think it's about 13 minutes of, there was an exhibit of photos taken from this tour that they had in a gallery somewhere, and they got Neil to come in and talk about some of the photos. And I can't tell you how big or how great the feeling of love he exudes for this band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh,
he
yeah.
loves these guys, and he keeps saying over and over, we put out this album as a tribute to those guys.
Yeah.
Because he just said they were such great musicians and it was an honor to play with them. And so if you're on the archives, definitely check that out. That's a great little film.
And
Russ,
some
great pictures.
Right before Zoom kicked me off and stopped the recording of this and basically gave us a pee break, it forced a pee break into this. you were talking about the band specifically. And I wanted to ask where you rank the International Harvesters in like all of Neil's bands?
Oh yeah, man, that's a good question.
Cause you got the Stray Gators, you got Crazy Horse, you got the Shocking Pinks.
I really like a combination of Ben and Crazy Horse.
Really?
I do. Yeah. And
what they had on Tonight's
and
Tonight.
On Tonight's the Night, because you also have Nils. So to me, Tonight's the Night, as far as the band goes, is kind of like the Mount Rushmore. Because you have Ben and you have Crazy Horse and you have Nils.
Mm-hmm.
And like, to me, that's just...
Yeah, that's a good combo.
But then I really like the Stray Gators. And then this band, I mean, is fucking amazing. My only sort of complaint with this record, as much as
hate Hargis Pig Robbins.
Not at all. I love
Hargis. Is it because he's blind? Do you hate blind people?
I love Hargis Pig. I love good old Piggy Robbos. But
do you like stripper Piggy Robbos?
Jesus, we don't have time for this.
Is Piggy Robbos his juggalo name?
Yes.
Okay.
The only complaint I have, and as much as Rufus is incredible, there's almost a little bit too much fiddle for me.
Wow, really?
A little bit, because it gets in the way of Ben.
See, okay, all right, sure. To me, that's a real draw for me.
Don't get me wrong. I love it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it overpowers what Ben's doing.
I think I know the problem. Russ, did you listen to this album on the archives or did you listen to it on Blu-ray?
Blu-ray. I'll also really quick, because she was going to hate this one too, although you will agree with the first part. We also got another Facebook comment from our good friend Lars, a top fan. I really like these. A Treasure is much better experience compared to Old Ways. Not sure if I dare to say the same about Dreamin' Man compared to Harvest Moon, since that album is such a classic, but Such a Woman is way better. Like, already.
God, mentioned. You guys are messaging.
I swear to God, we're not.
Such
a Woman is the best song in the album. That's the only way I can understand this.
I promise you, this is completely unprompted.
No, you guys sent out some kind of Patreon thing. Comment and say Such a Woman is the best song.
No, we didn't. Anyway.
So Amber Jean is about his daughter, yeah?
Yeah.
Because this was just a song.
A baby at the time. Yeah.
This is a song we have not yet heard up to this point.
I thought this was a cover until I remembered his daughter's name.
Yeah.
No, but I'm pretty sure these are all originals, yeah?
Not all of them.
Which ones? No.
No, I think there's only four that are previously unreleased, the Amber Jean and...
No. What I'm saying is these are all songs written by Neil Young, correct?
I don't think Bound for Glory is.
No, it is. Yeah, I believe that's his... That's Bound for Glory. You know, I Met a Girl Hitchhiking and...
Yeah, that's a Neil song. That's off Old Ways.
That's not the Woody Guthrie Bound for Glory.
Oh, all right.
No, yeah. It's
kind of based on the same thing. But it's not
Bound for Glory, that one.
You know what's surprising is he took the train references out for this particular version, which is very un-Neil.
Wow. But how many bird references did you replace them with?
You know, I don't even know if there are bird references on it. Flying on the Ground is wrong. That's probably the closest one you're going to get.
Which we definitely got to get to. We got to talk about
it. I think when Neil went country, he hated the gays, and he turned around and hated birds too. No. While he was in his country mode.
That's blasphemous.
No, I'm serious. Wait, what do you mean? The gays or the birds?
The birds.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe, but
it's for the birds.
This song is about his daughter, and his daughter is an artist. Did you guys know this? Like a painter. She's really good.
Really?
I follow her on Instagram. She's great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You should get her on the show.
Well, maybe I will.
Well, why don't you?
I don't know, because we talk about her dad being a stripper and
look,
et cetera.
And she's old enough to accept that fact.
That's true.
I wonder how pretty her eyes really are.
Nice one, Russ, man.
Good question.
It's a great song. I love it. It starts off, I like the song a lot.
For sure.
I was really relieved to hear a song I'd never heard right off the bat. It was cool. It was great.
There are I think four previously unreleased songs on here. That's one of them. And then I thought Let Your Fingers Do the Walkin'. I thought that was a cover, but he wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what that's about, right? I don't want to say it out loud.
Yeah, no, you're going to, though.
It's about fingering.
Okay, no, never mind then. No.
Yeah, okay.
And then I think not the last two, Nothing is Perfect and
Grey Riders.
Grey Riders were both previously unreleased.
Grey Riders sounds like a Crazy Horse song to me.
Riders is definitely way more rock, Crazy Horse style than the rest of this album. And I love it.
So I read this other interesting thing about this album and about the tour. They talk about how much fun they had, but then Neil cites one exception from the Harvesters period, an early 85 tour of Australia and New Zealand, where Neil says, I toured with half of that band and half of Crazy Horse, and it did not work well. I realized I'd lost some of the authenticity in trying to do too many things at once, exactly what I'd been trying to avoid. I'd ended up with something that was not as satisfying, so I stayed with the extremes. Whether people understood it or not was secondary. So I think that's kind of an interesting thing, because Neil has all these kind of like worlds that he dips into and bands that he plays with. And I think he, over the years, has probably learned like, no, I got to kind of like do this with these guys and this with these guys. And not that he can't cross blend some of them, but for the most part, you can't mix the horse with too many other things.
Well, you can't mix the horse with, you know, extremely proficient musicians.
No, God, no.
That's not going to work. And then from what I read on that particular tour you mentioned, I think Crazy Horse went on first. And then he did a solo set, and then the Harvesters came out.
Is it weird that
he felt that they got lost at the end there, because everyone's there to see the Crazy Horse stuff and his solo stuff, and nobody seemed to care about the country stuff and the Harvester stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, Luke, I was telling Shu this when you got the fucking boot, when you got the digital.
I got the old country boot from Zoom.
The old country boot. You got a fucking rattlesnake fucking spur. You got a rattlesnake spur up your ass, but I was telling Shu that. Have you listened to the Waylon Jennings' version of "Are You Ready for the Country"?
No.
Yeah, he did it himself. He did like his own version. It's
really?
Very Waylon. It's very Waylon Jennings. But I was saying to Shu, it does go to show that Neil writes a great country song. He knows how to write a country song, and when you hear Waylon Jennings do that song, you're like, this could have just been a Waylon Jennings song, you know?
Right. So, yeah.
But I want to listen to a little bit of the sort of towards the end here of "Are You Ready for the Country?" Because there's a great part where I think Neil yells out "Long Grain," and then Ben has a little solo. So. Great Ben solo. I don't know why it skipped like that, Luke.
Hold on, Russ. Something happened when Neil yelled out "Long Grain." Your screen became like goopy and white.
Yeah, what is that?
What happened there?
You get a squeegee.
Yeah.
So did you guys? It skipped, right? It played that first part twice, right?
Yeah, but I'll cut that out.
It's okay. All right. But you heard the "Long Grain" and the
"Oh
Ben."
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Did you hear it? We can't see you. Did you hear it?
Oh, I know there's cum all over my screen, but I just want to make sure you could hear Ben. That's all that matters.
We heard Ben. We heard
this,
him.
This is my favorite version of this song.
Me too.
Really?
I would rather this than the version on Harvest. Same. Yeah. This is just so much better.
I think I like the Harvest a little better. I don't know.
It's got its own charm. The one from Harvest, it sounds completely different.
Two different songs.
The way it's recorded, but this is like, you know, this is live and
this is
a ton of
fun.
An audience. This is awesome. I think this is my favorite version of this tune, definitely.
I don't know if we have to hit all the songs, unless you guys want to, because Russ, I know you.
No, let's just like talk about them. Well, what did you think of it? Might have been.
I thought it was a good country ballad. It didn't stand out.
I felt
out
like
Shu to
was going
to
hate that one.
I feel like Shu's going to love this one.
It was. I liked that one. It was pretty good.
So we'll
play a little bit of it in the background while we talk about it, but.
You know, it just seems to me that some of the songs on here from Old Ways, it just should have done it live, like the Blue Notes album.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, it's a country song. I mean,
this is Nashville country. This is George Jones.
Yeah.
You know,
I bet you live is great.
The saddest words of tongue or pen.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff.
So
nice keys in there, nice piano.
It's Rufus Thibodeau on this song is pretty amazing.
I think Rufus steals a good amount of
this whole record. It's a lot.
But I think that's, and not
No, not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. No, he's amazing. It's incredible. It's incredible. I was mostly just being silly.
That is one of the few hardcore, like, if you want to call them country songs, like Let Your Fingers Do the Walk and play a little bit of that one. I mean, that's a full on country tune.
Mm-hmm.
Very country. Yeah.
In fact, it's got that perfect country title to it.
Right.
In the days of covered wagons, a man had his own way. Whether talking to a woman all across the USA.
I'm actually going to skip ahead. I wrote a time. Let's hopefully it doesn't skip again. But I like this. I like this stuff. There's really good playing in here. Let's see if I can find it. All right. Let's see. Back and forth between Rufus and whoever's on there, Spooner or Pig. I'm not sure, but this is really great playing.
I mean,
it's a classic fucking country sound, but the playing is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let your fingers do the walking if you can't bite the bullet.
All right.
Russ,
do them both at the same time.
Russ, just start this. Just start this song.
Yeah, let's
see. Wait, which one?
Flying on the Ground, Baby.
This is great.
So good.
Oh, Ben!
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Is my world not falling down? I'm in pieces.
Yeah, Luke, when I first heard this, I almost frantically like texted you, did you listen to the Flying on the Ground from A Treasure yet? Because that's the version we could do.
Well, we could. So a little bit of a spoiler. Next week for the patrons, we did disc one, which covers some old Buffalo Springfield stuff. And Russ was very adamant that this is one of the best songs. He really likes the song.
I love this song. Yeah.
So let me ask you, do you like this version more or do you like that kind of Buffalo Springfield solo Neil version?
This has been Keith, so this one.
Yeah, I like them both.
This is the superior version.
I love them both so much, but when I heard this, I flipped out. I mean, it's so
good. This is a great song.
If this isn't in your top three, you're a fucking nutbag.
It's in my top three.
You're a lunatic. I'm sorry, but it's true.
Really, does that warrant? I mean, is it such a great song that it warrants mocking the mentally ill?
That's a great point, Mike.
Yeah.
That's Russ doing it. That's not us. That's Russ doing that. I don't
know. No, seriously.
Do you want to hear some of Motor City?
Well, no. I just want to say that is much like Are You Ready for the Country, the best version of Flying on the
Better
Ground.
Better than Buffalo Springfield?
Oh, yeah. Way 100 times better than Buffalo Springfield.
I think I'm coming around to agree with you guys.
It's just the sound of the guitar
and
BK,
yeah, that, all
BK
those players
just spreading his love all over that song, man. It's just
oh,
and
yeah.
And even though BK's got pedal steel all over it, I still wouldn't call that necessarily a country song. It's just a beautiful.
It's almost
done,
like a. It's almost a 50s. Like that.
It's got
bump,
a little
bump.
Bit of that.
Yeah,
in it.
Bump,
yeah.
Bump.
And obviously,
bump,
like that's he took that and ran with Harvest Moon.
So
you know,
that,
but there's some of the same.
And then
chords
like
in
the
there.
Key, the piano in there, everything. It's so well produced. Like
that
the
was recorded
production of it.
In
as
an
far as like the song structure is beautiful.
It was recorded
yeah,
in
gorgeous.
An amphitheater.
Okay. It's got a great sound to it.
Yeah, really, it's really sound. So that, to me, that's the best version of that song.
I think right I there. Agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a song that I love that much already, and then having BK, it's just come on.
So you don't have to play any of it, but I do want to talk for a second about Bound for Glory. I think that it didn't make my top three, but that was an honorable mention. I think Bound
it
for
was.
Glory
it's a really song. Fun. It's really fun.
It's a great story. Yeah,
yeah, and it makes you. It made me realize, oh, this is what Old Ways should have been. Like right. This is way better. I mean, this is incredible.
This absolutely yeah. is what Old Ways should have been. This it's yeah. insane yeah. that
this is what people will listen to, or I'm sure people do listen to this over Old Ways. Obviously, I mean this.
I have never heard of this, and this is not available on Spotify.
I hadn't heard it before. It's no,
only
I,
on the
I,
archives right
it's
now.
It's only on the archives. I'm pretty sure, and I had never heard it before this. So,
side note on Bound for Glory, that was recorded at Gillies Rodeo Arena. And apparently the stage was right next to some of the pens where they kept the animals, and there was shit all over the stage when they went in to set up.
So I think they were all Play-Doh-ing.
Standing in shit.
And they shoveled a huge pile for when he played, you know, fucking, I'm not even going to bring it up again. Sorry. We're on a completely different album, and Flying right, on the so, Ground is Wrong is the best version.
Oh, then, Mike, you're such a woman.
Shoo, we were talking about how there's a couple of Reactor songs on
right.
here.
And how naturally they morph into country songs. Like Motor City is the next one. So play a little Motor City. That's a song from Reactor.
Right. Crazy how country works. And I'm sorry, we haven't
keep the Asians out, hate the gays, and I love Reagan.
So obviously, all the country, whoever the fuck Geffen, whoever it was that said they're not going to like you, you're an idiot. I mean, he's clearly
well, he was right in the sense that they'd probably never play anything like this, or even off of Old Ways, anything on country radio. If Neil wanted to turn into a country artist, he'd have a hard time. But I think you know the way he described it in those films I watched and what I read that. You know, it was received pretty well. And then keep in mind this tour, they weren't playing just like the regular venues. They were playing state fairs and rodeo arenas. And
this would have been a fun like fucking tour. I mean, I would have loved to have seen this band. This
imagine
tour.
Neil playing with this band at like you go to the Big E, you know, and you're there to get like the 2-pound baked potato. And it's like, hey, look, Neil Young's playing. Let's go see. You know, it's included in the ticket price.
Wild.
Right.
You know, and that
would have been such a fun show. I mean, all of these songs are fun.
Yeah, that's the thing. They got energy to them as opposed to Old Ways where it just puts you to sleep.
Right. We haven't had a BK album in a while. And technically it's up, you know, he's passed. And so it's like now we hear this record and I'm like fucking freaking out because it's so good. Even on these weird songs, he's playing so well. Not that they're weird, but you know what I mean? Like you said, Shu, I wouldn't have thought of this, and then you hear it in this context, and you're like, "Yeah, that's a country song."
Because on Reactor, it's got that same country beat, but it's such a noisy record with Crazy Horse, so it's completely different, and it just so it becomes a country song so easily. The lyrics, especially, just settle in comfortably as a country tune, hating on the Japanese cars, you know. And then the other one is Southern Pacific. That's the other one from Reactor, which is. In my top three.
What?
And it's phenomenal performance.
It's
really nice, Ben. Really nice Ben stuff. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Soul of a Woman's fun. Get Back to the Country.
That's the Soul of a Woman is like, I think, the precursor to the Blue Notes.
I think it's the precursor to Such a Woman.
Okay, you can stop saying that, Russ. Maybe that's why.
That was Luke.
Sorry, Luke. Maybe that's why your computer crashed because you kept mentioning that shitty song.
You keep bringing it up.
I stopped. I didn't even bring it up when I was talking about it. But you.
I'll be honest. I like Motor City on Reactor better than I like it on this album.
Wow.
Personally,
I don't.
Get Back to the Country is great.
Yeah,
yeah,
Anthony
that's better
Crawford,
than the old boys version.
Anthony Crawford doing the banjo, I think, and also is the you said the one doing the backup vocals too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's that? Why am I not?
Anthony Crawford?
Yeah. Just a country, like a studio guy?
Yeah, just a musician, artist guy.
That's crazy, banjo.
So in the video that we started the episode with, they show this, a clip of this, but it's Larry Cragg playing the banjo. But Neil goes back into his explanation. Well, we had some film stuff, but we synced it up to stuff, and it's not necessarily the people who are playing, but that's us bringing the technology to you. Like, oh, crappily overdubbing the wrong audio onto the wrong piece of film? Okay.
Okay, so Russ, we were wrong. This album is on Spotify.
Is it?
It's not. Oh. You can't just look up Neil Young. You have
to
look
up. Oh, it's under
up
International Harvest.
Neil Young International Harvest.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't aware of this.
Well, it sounds better on archives.
So I have to play a little. Go ahead, Luke.
No, well, what is this song originally from? What album is this one from?
Get Back to the Country. It's from Always.
Oh, that's right.
That's where. Yeah, that's the one where he's trying to sound like George Jones.
But who's in that with him? Like someone's himself with him. I think it's Waylon or some, one of those guys is singing it with him, too.
It might be George Jones. I don't know. Or maybe
George Jones isn't on that.
I don't know why I thought this was on something else. No. But anyway, go ahead, Russ. Sorry.
I'll look it up. But I was just going to say, I do want to play a little bit of Southern Pacific. Because
you goddamn better play Southern Pacific.
Because he has
play near the end.
He has I was going to say, he has a full-on train-gasm at the end.
Yeah, he does. He does.
And so how can we not?
Did you just say a full-on train-gasm?
Oh, that's the best way to describe it.
He does.
He totally does. And I love it. I love it so much. And the band just goes right along with him, man. I mean, it just sounds great.
Yes, it's awesome. All right, let me let's get some of this going here.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'm gonna. But of course, we start with this. Well, the guitar is awesome, but all right, I'm gonna skip ahead. All right, let's see if I hit the right spot here.
Oh, you hit the right spot, all right.
What's that?
It was in the videos you can see on the archives. It's Anthony Crawford doing the backups. He talks about it in Shaky. So
here
like,
we go.
There we go. It's the train gas.
Full load in his pants by this point.
Oh my god.
I mean, come on. That is a full on train gasm.
He's filled
the last minute and a half of the song. It's so awesome, though.
That promise of a man is boiling over.
It is boiling over.
Is that Rufus Thibodeau making that?
Yeah, the train
sound. That's unbelievable.
It's either him or Ben, but
I love it
for sure.
Do you think there was a crazy sexual energy on stage when they played that together?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it is very Freudian. The whole image of a train. And
what do you guys think of Nothing is Perfect? Because that was another new one. And,
that was pretty good.
Yeah. Again, that's kind of like, that's
I really
like,
the
like
keys,
traditional.
I really like the keys and the drums in this tune.
Wait, you guys aren't spending enough time
I'll
on
just
Southern
play
Pacific.
A little bit while Luke is ridiculous in the back. A lot of nice keys in the song. But a lot of fiddle.
It's a good country ballad, I think.
Yeah. Cool.
There's plenty of food.
Anyway, yeah. I'm just playing.
He's
it
got
in the
that whole old timey depression era,
yeah.
You know, phrasing down.
I like this. Very like gospel piano, you know what I mean? Yeah. All right, let's hit a little bit of Grey Riders.
This is hold on. Nothing as perfect as one where I it's one of those songs I wish Emmy Lou was doing some
harmonies. Yeah, yeah. That'd be a really
great
good
Emmy
one.
Lou song.
Yeah.
For sure. But
are you gonna go back to Southern Pacific at all at any point on this episode?
Whoever that, whoever's doing that organ right there, come on. And right here, here we go. I don't want to stop playing it. It's so,
no, it's really
so good.
It's really
the dynamics
good.
In this song, I'm blown away. I mean, this is fucking... Yeah. Why was this never released? This
yeah,
incredible.
Think about the year. This is 1985.
This has everything.
This could have easily ended up on Life.
It's the year I was born.
Or even on Ragged Glory. I could hear Crazy Horse doing this on Ragged Glory.
Yeah.
This would have been really good on Ragged Glory. I think it would have sucked on Life.
What I really love about this is every instrument has a really unique and dynamic part that fits the song so well. Like what Ben does... And then, like, that organ thing, everything is so – it's like a produced song but a live song that's really country and then really rock.
Yeah, it just becomes really heavy.
All at the
really
same
heavy.
Time, it's, like, heavy that's, rock and good country. It's fucking wild. I love it.
So good, yeah.
Yeah, and this is the first real screaming Neil Young guitar we've heard, I think, in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of that time. This came out in 2011.
Right.
But, you know, during that time, what was he doing? He was coming off of Everybody's Rockin'.
Trans.
Right? So this was in the middle of that period where he was, you know, going to the extreme with genres. And there it's just kind of cool how it ends with this song. And then after this, it was Landing on Water. And then he did like Life. And then he started getting, so after, like, this is the last song. And then after this, he started getting back into the guitar, like electric guitar rock stuff. So it's kind of fitting that the album ends on this particular song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings him back to the, you know, the hard rock stuff.
Do you think if he had shown Geffen this instead of Old Ways, it would have been more well received? Do you think Geffen was too, it didn't matter at that
point? I don't know. I think he wanted a studio record.
I think he wanted Harvest.
He wanted Harvest, yeah.
And so he waited to leave Geffen to put out Harvest Moon. What a big fuck you.
Yeah. All right, I'm sorry, guys. You can finish without me, but I got to go. I'll give you my top three.
All right,
okay.
Your top
my
three.
Number three is Southern Pacific. My number two is Flying on the Ground, and my number one is Grey Riders. And I could those the two, number one and two, are interchangeable for me. They're so good. Are incredible.
We can just be done now, Ruz. I mean, my three is Grey Riders, my two is Flying on the Ground, and my one is Amber Jean. I just love that song.
That was would have been my other one. Yeah.
My three is Grey Riders, and my two is, I'm going to have to say Southern Pacific, and then my number one is Flying on the Ground is Wrong.
Nice. Yeah. My cut's Motor City. I'll just...
Really?
Yeah.
I think my cut would be, it might have been, let me change that to Let Your Fingers Do the Walking.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's one of those two.
Mine might be Nothing is Perfect. I'm not sure. It's
Nothing is Perfect was my close four. I like that song a lot.
I don't know.
I like the story in that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know. It's hard to pick a cut song for this.
Yeah, this is really a great live album.
I might do It Might Have Been as well. I'm not sure.
Russ is trying to find the one with the least.
But it's all really good.
So it's tough. Yeah.
But anyway, this has been Long May You Young. Thanks for listening. Can you guys hear me? Am I bouncing out?
No, unfortunately, you're still coming through loud and clear.
Well, all right, I got to go, guys. Love
all right, see you, Russ. Enjoy Promise of the Real.
All right. Thanks.
Lucky bastard.
Seriously. Stop into Worcester on your way to fucking...
I don't have time. I got to go, bud.
All right. All right.
So don't forget to check us out on social media at Long May You Young on Instagram and Twitter. We're also on Facebook. We post to the Neil Young subreddit. And give them that Patreon information again, Luke.
It's patreon.com/longmayyouyoung. And we do a ton of fun stuff there. It's very interactive. And there's already a bunch of people on it. And so help
all
us,
the cool people are on there. That's really what Luke is trying to say. That's where all the cool kids hang out.
Yeah. And we do a lot of, we get into the archives. We're going to be doing some more silly stuff with, I'm sure there'll be some Stripper Neil segment coming up.
Yeah.
Old Silver Gold might be there. Who knows?
Oh, boy.
We got to get Barbary in to do some of these fucking characters.
He'll do the best Old Silver Gold because I'm trying to do Mason Adams, who was like, with a name like Schmuckers, it has to be good. That guy's name was Mason Adams. And Kevin Barbary does the only imitation of Mason Adams on the planet.
I've heard him do that before. But anyway, yeah. So go to the Patreon. It's tons of fun. Next week will be a patron-only episode. So if you want to hear that, you got to subscribe. Patreon.com/townmeeting. Nope.
And then in a couple of weeks, look for our OnlyFans account. And that'll have a whole other realm of... if you enjoyed Luke's semen jokes, they have a whole new meaning on OnlyFans.
I actually think I made a tier as a joke on the Long May You Young Patreon called Only Trains. I don't remember, though. No one should ever sign up for that because that you're just giving us too much money a month nothing. Any amount of money you give us is too much money a month.
Yeah, it really is. We should be paying you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
And don't forget to check out the website, longmayyouyoungpodcast.com. You hear all the episodes there. We got
still
merch.
Have some merch, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tons of merch.
We got to sell some merch.
Yep.
We'll figure out something.
Hit us up. You can message us there, too.
All right. Bye, everyone.
All right. Thanks.
Nice. See you, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks, Luke. Yep.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.